Welcome to the Brave Parenting Podcast, an examination of the Bible and how parents can apply God's word to raising kids in a culture saturated with media and technology. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. I am Kelly Newcomb, founder of Brave Parenting. Today, I am covering Common Sense Media's 2025 Consensus on Media Use by Kids Ages 0 to 8. Now, this was originally released at the end of February 2025, and the survey was completed in August of 2024. I think this report is super important because it reveals screen time trends of use, content, and device ownership, and how they continue to increase at younger and younger ages. If screen time and media consumption continues to flow fast and free with the youngest of society, well, we have to consider what the result will be in another 10 and 20 years. As parents, we can't keep going on like this and not care about our children or our grandchildren's future world. We only have to look at the children who were given private internet access on personal devices over the last 15 years to see that too much too soon has long-lasting and devastating consequences. Now, much of what we discuss on the Brave Parenting Podcast focuses on Gen Z, but this research is all about Gen Alpha. This is the generation that has had personal screen media since the day they were born. The material I present today should give you reason to say no to too much too soon, but know that it is ultimately an understanding and a surrender to the truth of God's revealed word in Scripture that will change your heart. Now, with all of that said, we have a lot of points to get to, so let's jump into the Common Sense Media Consensus. Now, key finding number one was that kids ages 8 and younger now spend an average of 2 hours and 27 minutes every day on screen media. Now, just to note that screen media here mostly refers to personal screens such as a smartphone and a tablet, but it can also be consuming screen media on the television. Now, if we break down that time a little bit more, what we see is what I'm going to call babies, that's children 2 and under, they're spending 1 hour and 3 minutes. Children 2 to 4, who I'm just going to broadly call toddlers as we move forward, is 2 hours and 8 minutes a day. And children ages 5 to 8, which I'm going to call elementary age kids, are 3 hours and 28 minutes on average of screen media. So that average is 2 hours and 27 minutes a day, which is a lot. Now, if we break that down by gender, the average for boys is actually 30 minutes more than girls. It's 2 hours and 38 minutes a day. Now, that makes me kind of curious as to why more time for boys than girls. I'm tending to think that maybe it's because of boys' proclivity towards video games, or maybe it's because girls, young girls, toddlers, and elementary age girls tend to follow their moms a lot more, and maybe they're just kind of mimicking the mother-like behavior, whereas boys tend to have more different types of play, and maybe that's more screen time. But I'm interested to see why that is, if we ever can discover that. Now, I know a lot of people hear that age range in the elementary age kids of 3.5 hours a day and immediately think, oh, well, that's just screen time that they're getting at school. But this number actually excludes school media and screen time in that classroom. Now, what they did report, though, is that only 1% of that screen time is used on homework. So this is all screen media used in the home, and only 1% of that is actually allotted to homework. So the majority of that 2 hours and 27 minutes, it's like, where is that going? If it's not going to education or homework, because that's only 1% of it, where is it going? Well, 60% is watching TV and videos. 26% of that time is on gaming, 4% video chatting, 4% electronic reading, and 2% social networking. Now, lest we forget who we're talking about here, we're not talking about teens. We're talking about children ages 0 birth to 8 years old. So that's like up to second grade. So of course we recognize that they should not be on any social networking sites. We already know this, but alas, 2% of them are. Now, if you're like me, you may be wondering where kids find this 2 hours and 27 minutes a day to spend on the screen media. Is it just watching videos, playing video games, all of this stuff? Is it on the television? Well, let's break it down by device. By age 2, 80% of kids have their own tablet. So a lot of this time is being spent on a tablet. Just tablets alone is what we're looking at when we say devices here. By age 4, 58% have their own tablet. By age 8, a quarter, 25%, actually have their own internet-connected smartphone. So 25% by age 8 have their own internet-connected smartphone. So if we think about that, before they can tie their shoes, before they can write, most children have their own device that they are consuming content on. And to be fair, I know that a lot of parents aren't buying them like brand new tablets or brand new smartphones. A lot of them are hand-me-down type of devices, or they're devices that many siblings share. So I want to be, you know, gracious in that. I understand that sometimes that it's not a personal device solely for themselves. But what we do know is that once a screen is introduced in front of a child, it's really hard to take away. Having that personal screen to be entertained by becomes, it's so alluring. It's so addictive. And the kids realize that I like to be entertained. I like this sort of passive consumption. And so that training of a child's brain makes them want to continue to desire this life of entertainment, of ease, of pleasure, of really not doing a lot of hard work. And when it comes to sharing the gospel with our kids as Christian parents, you know, it's hard for them to accept the gospel because it's hard. The gospel is hard. It's meant to be hard when they are in a always state of ease and comfort and entertainment. It's hard to respond to the gospel, even for rest. When Jesus says, come to me all who are heavy laden and I will give you rest. Well, that's not the rest that kids learn when they are young and on devices. They learn that being entertained is rest, right? That is how they learn to cope, as we will discover later in this research. And so I just want to put that point out there as we discuss how much time. I often talk about how devices like this are disciplers. And we consider that 2 hours and 27 minutes are coming from screen media. That's time that we can truly be pouring into kids and actually discipling versus just allowing them to be entertained. And a lot of times kids just don't think they need Jesus because they have everything they want on the screen. So let's hit key finding number 2 in the common sense media consensus. Gaming. The time for gaming has jumped 65% in the past four years, but really by the time I'm reporting this, it's almost 5 years. It went from 23 minutes a day in 2020 to now 38 minutes when this was recorded in 2024. Now, if we break that down, by age, the good news is that our babies, the youngest, our toddlers, they're only averaging 3 minutes of gaming per day. Praise God, right? Not a whole lot. 2 to 4 year olds, our toddlers, are at 21 minutes of gaming every day. And our oldest kids, our elementary age kids, ages 5 to 8, they are averaging 1 hour and 4 minutes of gaming per day. And so that's where we get that average of 38 minutes, because obviously the toddlers, the babies, they are not consuming that much time. And all of those numbers, all of them are higher, 65% higher than 2020. Now, if we break this down by age group into how they game, as into which device, we can gain even more clarity. So kids ages 2 to 4 spend 14 of those 21 minutes playing games on a smartphone and a tablet. So that should not surprise us. But basically what that's saying is not necessarily on a console. It's the actual device that's kind of portable, and maybe they're playing at a restaurant or on the go in the car, things like that. Now, if we look at kids ages 5 to 8, that number more than doubles. They are spending 34 minutes a day on a smartphone or tablet playing games. Now, I think it's important to also note that the rate of handheld gaming systems inside the home has also increased. Now, I think this is most likely from the popularity of the Nintendo Switch, which can both be a console that you hook up to your TV, but it can also be a portable device that they take with them on the go. 49% of American homes now have these gaming systems in their home. I think it's certainly true. I know the parents and the families that have the Nintendo Switch have kids in that young elementary age range, because there's a lot more games that you can play offline. It's a little bit different than, say, the PlayStation or the Xbox. And when we think about, when you say you have kids like ages, maybe you have a kid like ages 7, 4, and 1 or 2. If the 7-year-old is granted some gaming time, whether that be on a tablet or it's on a console like a Nintendo Switch, chances are the other siblings are going to be around. They're going to naturally consume a little of that gaming time with their older sibling because that's just what siblings do. So the fact that we see 2 to 3 minutes a day in that baby age range, well, I think it's probably because they're using maybe their sibling's console game or iPad game as well. All right, so let's go ahead and go down. On the actual consensus, which I'm going to link to in the podcast notes, there is another finding, key finding number 5 that I want to touch on. I touched on a little bit earlier, but I think it's important to revisit it. And that is that by 8 years old, nearly 1 in 4 kids have their own internet-connected cell phone. Now, if we break that down by ages, because I think it's important to just see where that is. So obviously 23% by age 8, so that's almost 1 in 4. But let's go down to by age 2. I think this is absolutely startling. 4% at age 2 have their own smartphone or internet-connected cell phone. By 8% at age 4, 8% of them have a phone. At age 6, 10% have their own phone. Now, of course, we think these are crazy numbers. But here's the worst part. Like, it's not just the fact that they have their device. Those who do have a phone, 79% have the smartphone that goes online, can use apps, play videos. So 79% have that type of phone. It's the type of phone that you and I have as parents. Only 19% of those with a phone have a kid-safe phone like we promote, like Pinwheel, Gab, or Bark. And only 3% have that real simple, I don't know what they're called, frog phones, all these different kind of like very kid-safe phones that have like no touchscreen, but only one button that can call mom or dad. So the majority by far have the internet connected smartphone just like the adults have. Now, we aren't given specific reasons as to why, again, that these kids have these phones. There could be numerous reasons, and some of them can be valid. I don't want to say that not all these parents giving these phones have invalid reasons to give the phone. But could be that maybe the kid is walking home from school by themselves. There's times when they're left alone. And maybe they need a phone for that reason. I know with the increased rates of divorce, I know a lot of divorced parents have the kids of those divorced families have phones because the individual parents want to be able to contact them directly and not go through the ex-spouse. So that could be a reason. And again, like I mentioned before, a lot of the reason is just because it's a hand-me-down. You have an old iPad or you have an old phone and it serves as a device that your kids can use even when it's not connected, but maybe even obviously it does say a lot of them are internet connected. Now, again, going back to why we're unpacking all of this information, it's so important to consider the trajectory that we are establishing by granting this type of early access to phones and to tablets. As I've said numerous times, once you go smartphone, you don't go back. If we just look at Proverbs 22:6, when you train up a child in the way they should go, they will not depart from it. That is true both in the biblical sense of discipleship, but it's also true in the sense with technology, because once kids have tasted and seen that being entertained on a personal device is good, they don't want that life without it. It's very hard to pull the device away and kind of start a non-internet connected life back over when they are older, especially because so much of their peers are doing this all around them. So parents of Gen Alpha, I really encourage you to learn from all of the mistakes that we as parents of Gen Z made and that we gave too much too soon and how important it is to really delay and limit access during these tender ages of 0 to 8. And I think honestly, as Christian parents, it's really kind of non-negotiable because of the discipleship aspect. When Jesus says that we are to have childlike faith, we know that faith develops in those young childhood years. That is when they learn to love Jesus and appreciate the gospel and can understand it. And then it can grow from there. Not that they can't learn it later, but they really can soak it in and learn it in those tender early elementary years. Okay. So let's hit the next key finding, and that is number 6. Not going to be shocking at all to anyone. Short form video platforms are becoming the new source of video viewing for young children. Now, Common Sense Media reports that over half of children, 48% of children 0 to 8, have watched short form video platforms like TikTok, like Instagram Reels, or like YouTube Shorts. Now, 16% of the kids are viewing that type of short form video daily. Every day, these kids are watching it. Now, children under two, our babies are watching 2 to 4 minutes a day. Our toddlers are watching 10 minutes a day. And our young elementary kids, ages 5 to 8, are watching an average of 22 minutes a day. So the average is 14 minutes a day. Do you know what the average was in 2020? Right when, you know, COVID lockdowns and TikTok was just taking off? 1 minute. 1 minute. So I think that is a very significant increase. And of course, it's not surprising when you just look at the increase across all ages and all demographics. Everybody is watching more short form video. But now the greatest problem, and I really hope that all of the parents listening already recognize this, is the problem with short form video is how addictive this type of video form really is. The platforms create this so that it's really easy to watch and then scroll up, view a little bit. Do I like it? No, scroll. Or even if you watch every single video, most of them are so short that you can just keep consuming so many videos and you don't realize how much time is passing. And it, of course, is decreasing our attention span, especially our young kids whose brains are still forming, how much it is decreasing their attention span. So that's the important reason why that this stat is critical to understand, because they are losing their attention. And so many forms of media and entertainment are going short form because we've all lost our attention span. But it's critical to have an attention span if we are to even read, learn, and understand scripture for the sake of discipleship, for the sake of spiritual growth. We have to have a longer attention span than the average, you know, 1 minute TikTok video. Okay. Key finding number 10 is that 1 in 5 children use devices for comfort at mealtime and to fall asleep. Now, let me read verbatim to you what Common Sense Media says here. They say, quote, devices can play a role in emotional regulation, with 17% of parents reporting that their child sometimes or often uses a mobile device to calm down when feeling angry, sad, or upset. So now that's only 17%. So that's not that high. But again, we're relying on parents' honesty when they're reporting this in the survey. So screens are a bedtime companion for some children, the report verbatim says, with 20% of kids ages 8 and under watching or playing a device every night or most nights to fall asleep, end quote. Okay, that makes me really sad, because the device is forever going to be a crutch in their life. It's always going to be the way that they cope when they learn this at such young ages, especially to fall asleep. The amount of sleep problems that we as consuming adults have, the fact that's already translating over into children under 8 is really sad and scary. I mean, and honestly, like, what resilience is built when we are giving the screens as that type of coping mechanism, right? There's always going to be something hard to do. And we need to teach our kids that the screen isn't how we deal with those hard things, right? We deal with those hard things by kind of heading them face on and learning that scrolling and just passively entertaining ourselves is not how we actually move forward. And this is the screen cycle that I talk about in a lot of my presentations. And I try and teach parents that we've got to break the screen cycle. And we as parents are the only people in our children's life who are going to be able to break this screen cycle. So if you know the screen cycle and you never get into it, even better. But here's how the screen cycle essentially works. You have something like homework. So just think of an average, maybe middle schooler or a teenager. You have homework, which is hard. And kids don't want to do that hard work of writing a paper or doing a, you know, practice test of math. Okay, they don't want to do that. So they go to the screen or the game or whatever it is they have access to, and that entertainment makes them feel good, right? But then they don't do their homework because they just spent all their time pacifying themselves on the screen. And so then they get a bad grade, their grade drops. And because of technology, parents can see and get notified on every single grade that gets put into the system. And so then the parents get mad, and then they get maybe grounded. but then that makes them feel bad too. So even if they lost their tablet, kids are super savvy and they'll figure out a way, right? I hear this all the time. Well, kids will then just go onto the computer or they'll get another device or they'll do whatever. Or maybe parents don't even discipline them at all by taking away the device. They're just mad and they get in trouble for whatever reason or for however they get in trouble. And they just open up the game or they open up the social media platform to feel better from their parents getting mad. But what was the whole original problem was because they didn't do their homework and so they just pacify themselves with entertainment. That's what happens when something gets hard and you always go to the screen as a coping mechanism. The screen just becomes this cycle that every time they feel bad, which is going to be all of the time, because the screen is going to displace all of the other things in their life that are good and that they have responsibility to do. So we as parents have got to break the screen cycle by not allowing the device to be the coping mechanism. Now, again, I had said that these numbers weren't crazy high. We only see 17, 20% of kids actually doing this, using this as a coping mechanism. Well, I firmly believe that is just an inability or a refusal of parents to actually admit the truth of how much their kids are using this as a coping mechanism. Because, and here's why, there's also in this same key finding summary, they report that 22% of kids are using a mobile device while dining out at a restaurant. Well, if you're like me, every time you've gone to a restaurant, you see entire families at tables all on a device. Now, I don't eat out restaurants a lot, but I've been traveling a lot, so I've had to. And I've just been totally grieving and mourning for these families. I just want to go and say something. Please, there is life within the relationship that you share, because all four, you know, mom, dad, son, daughter, that actually typically is what I see, they're all on their own type of screen. And, you know, I want to be gracious and recognize that sometimes that's how you can pacify young children and have a calm meal. I get that. Sometimes that may be it, but that's not always the case. And we know this because I know this because I've literally seen, and I know that all the parents listening can probably attest to this too, that you see families that are actually intentionally setting up like a whole mobile viewing station, right? The iPads have the stand. They've got the headphones all ready to, you know, put on the kids' ears, and they're ready. They don't just, well, okay, fine, here's my phone. They've brought the devices to the restaurant with the headphones so that the kids can watch videos and not distract the other patrons in the restaurant. That's intentional, right? That not just intentional. That's like purposeful neglect. That's, you're like, hey, I'm not going to talk to you during this dinner. I'm going to put you on this device. Ah, it's so sad. And let me just remind everybody that, again, when we think about letting our children cope with the device, our kids are never going to have the understanding of technology to say, no, I shouldn't do this because this is not good for me. They will always say yes to the screen. They will, because that's what the screen has been designed to do, with maximum engagement. They are going to want to engage with it because it allures them so much. It is up to us as parents to say no to the screen. You know, even when you think about the child who may sneak the device at night or they, you know, take it without permission, it's not because the kid is always bad. Again, it's because the allure of the screen, but it's also because the parent is not putting up the proper amount of boundaries and restrictions needed to keep the kid from that device. And so if they stumble into pornography or some sort of like terrible thing on the device, we have to recognize as parents, it is our job first. Before it's our kids' responsibility to just listen and say no, and that they're not going to sneak the screen, it is our job to put those boundaries, put the passwords on the devices, take them up at night so that they're not accessible. It is our job to do that work. It's our job. It's our decision whether or not we disciple or we distract. What do we want? Do we want kids who have the attention span to learn, to grow up in the knowledge and wisdom of the Lord and do great things for society and for the kingdom of God, or to just be passively entertained? Because ultimately, that's kind of what's going to happen. Now, this report goes on even more and talks about how parents feel about their child's media consumption. And I'm going to go over all of that in part two of this podcast. So I think this is, frankly, enough information for all of us who are just sort of media and screen intoxicated already to just sober us up a little bit and recognize that the ages of 0 to 8 are precious time. And this amount of media consumption is concerning. The growing increase in trends of how much that these kids have devices is definitely something that we need to be aware of and share. If you are right, like, well, all my kids are older than 8, so it doesn't matter. It absolutely does matter, because you never know when you're going to have the influence over a parent who has a 0 to 8 and when you can share this wisdom with them. So I want to leave you with just some encouraging information of what you can do as a Christian parent with this information. Of course, have a media standard in place. If you don't have a media standard in place, I encourage you so much to get my book, Managing Media, Creating Character, and the accompanying studying guide that goes with it. Gather some parents that you know along with you. Do it as a small group. Walk through it. It's 8 weeks long. There's also the video curriculum. It'll help you create your media standard. It gives you the reason and the resources to have that media standard in place so that you can go by that instead of your feelings and the emotion, which we know changes all of the time. And then the second thing I would encourage you on is to just model the media standard that you want your children to ultimately have. 0 to 8, they are watching your every move and they are mimicking your every move. So what you do and the self-control and the respect and the attention that you show to your children in regard to how you spend time on your phone is so, so important. They are watching and they are learning. So before you get upset about just the state of the world and big tech and how they're manipulating all of us and all of our behaviors, before you really just get upset about them and all of that, just reflect humbly on your own habits and how you can potentially change and just be sanctified through this process of maybe limiting and delaying your own access to media and technology, especially when it comes to be doing that all in front of your children. All right, so that is all I have for you today. Be sure to come back next week and listen to part 2 of this podcast, where we will discuss parents' perceptions and concerns for kids and their media consumption between the ages of 0 and 8 years old. Thank you so much for listening today. I pray that you are blessed and strengthened by the Lord as you continue in this hard work of raising kids in this generation. Until next week, y'all, go and be brave.